Good morning. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for my rebuttal, please. May it please the court, this case raises the question under the National Environmental Policy Act of whether the catastrophic Fukushima accident of 2011 yielded new and significant information about the environmental risks of the proposed Vogtle reactors. Petitioners contend that as a matter of law, the answer is yes, because the NRC commissioners themselves agreed the accident was significant, and because they have adopted but not yet implemented recommendations by their own experts to raise the basic threshold of required protection against reactor accidents.
Counsel, don't you have a procedural problem at the outset?
What is that?
No, you haven't read the brief on the other side?
Well, I don't. Are you suggesting, is the problem that the hearing request was appropriately denied?
The issue, doesn't the government's first defense here rely on the regulations of the NRC asserting that you did not specify adequately the facts that were put in issue, to put facts in issue for purpose of a subsequent proceeding?
Well,
isn't that their procedural argument?
That is their procedural argument, yes. And their argument is...
If they win on that, that's the end of the case, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Don't you think you ought to address that first?
The NRC's argument in that respect are incorrect.
That's a big surprise.
We rely on the uncontested facts in the task force report. The NRC is not contesting those facts, and...
Which facts are you referring to?
The facts in the task force report that, the task force concluded that in order to meet an acceptable level of safety, which safety is also encompassed by the National Environmental Policy Act, this is equivalent to no significant impacts, that the level, the basic threshold of safety needed to be raised. There is an implicit assumption there that the probability of an accident is greater than was thought. That's why the new mandatory measures are required, are considered necessary. That was at least enough to get us into a hearing on the question of whether the EIS should be supplemented. Our contention was not two sentences, as suggested by the NRC. It was 20 pages long. It specifically disputed the conclusions of the EIS and explained why the task force recommendations basically upended them.
Well, what particular task force recommendation were you focusing on? I didn't see that.
There was a host of recommendations.
No, but what were you focusing on?
We were focused on all of the recommendations that the NRC considered applicable to Vogtle, and those are clearly stated in the task force report. The task force report states that all of its rulemaking recommendations are applicable to every single combined license application. That includes Vogtle. So there was no confusion as to what recommendations applied to the Vogtle reactor. And as a matter of fact, at page 21 of its brief, the NRC says, we will apply the task force recommendations to Vogtle. There was no misunderstanding or dispute about which recommendations applied. For instance, recommendation one, to evaluate what level of protection should be considered necessary for adequate protection. Recommendation four, the staging
of... What does that mean? That's always true, isn't it?
Well, in the...
That's no change.
Oh, yes. It's an incredibly significant change.
Read it again.
The change is that the NRC is now evaluating whether the level of safety measures that are required for nuclear plants as a basic fundamental requirement must be elevated in order to protect against catastrophic accidents. That is a seismic shift in the NRC's regulatory program.
They must be elevated, or they must be considered, or what?
The task force said they must be elevated in order to continue to assure a basic level of adequate protection of safety. That is basically saying our level of safety is not adequate. Now, the task force did say, we don't find an imminent risk. In other words, we don't think there's going to be an accident tomorrow.
The task force also, as my recollection, recommended that the agency go ahead with Vogel and go ahead with the regulation.
Yes, and it did qualify that and say we think that things are okay, that there's adequate protection in the interim until our recommendations are implemented. And the NRC adopted the recommendations and said we will fulfill them, but it decided to postpone them. So there was a very fundamental shift in the NRC's understanding of accident probability and what was necessary in order to maintain environmental impacts at an insignificant level.
They said it's premature at this stage.
Yes.
They're in the process of figuring out how to implement what are very general and amorphous recommendations. The recommendations in and of themselves don't state anything that you can simply implement. It's a matter of putting them through regulations. You'll have an opportunity when that happens to comment and to be part of the process.
NEPA requires that at the point of the licensing decision, the NRC must bring to bear the information that it has in its possession on the decision. The task force report shows that there is new information about severe accident risks that the NRC never before contemplated.
The agency said that they took into account with respect to these two actions, a number of the things that are in the task force recommendations. They've already taken them into account. In other words, the things that are now possible to take into consideration, they've already done.
Well, the NRC was vague about what had been taken into account.
As vague as your contention.
Well, in the AP 1000 design, for instance, the NRC said that many, quote unquote, many of the task force recommendations are reflected in the design.
You know, that's precisely the problem. That's why they have the procedural rule that says your contentions have to be precise. And it's true you have 20 pages appended to a contention, but your contention is two sentences. And I think based on the case law and that has been affirmed in this circuit, that's not enough. It doesn't put them on notice, and it doesn't really put you in a good position to come into court and say, look, in our contentions, we listed three things that need to be addressed now. We looked at the task force, we looked at what they've done, and they have to do at least these three things. That's not there.
But the task force recommendation was massive in its scope. And we discussed that recommendation.
If it's as clear as what you're saying, then you should have had contentions that were precise. That's what the case law says.
Well,
the
contention focused precisely and most importantly on the first recommendation, which was that the scope of the adequate protection standard, the scope of design basis accidents, needed to be expanded. In other words, the regulations...
Where does that say then the contention? I'm looking at the two sentences right now.
In our contention at page 445 to 46 of the joint appendix, we said that some accidents classified as severe accidents by the NRC may need to be changed to design basis accidents. That has extraordinary environmental significance because in that case, mitigation measures, if an accident is considered part of the design basis, then mitigation for that accident is required. It can't be rejected on the basis of a cost-benefit analysis. This was the most significant recommendation of the NRC task force, and it is the one that perhaps not coincidentally has been postponed the longest. It's a major change in the NRC's understanding of what is adequate to protect against accidents. It goes back to Three Mile Island. As the task force said, we had our first wake-up call in 1979, and now we've had another one, and the task force said it is time for change. That is what the contention is based on. And we discuss at length what are the implications of this change in the understanding of the adequate protection standard for the environmental analysis for Vogel?
When you stated what you now say is a contention, you say it may require something. And that's exactly what I understood, may. And their answer has been, there's nothing mandated by the task force report, and it's premature right now. They're working on it. And at the moment that happens, nothing's final. At the moment that happens, you'll have an opportunity to participate.
But there is enough information now. If the NRC had not adopted these recommendations, if the NRC had said, we're still going to study this and we'll get back to you later, that would be a different situation. But here the NRC said, we think our program has got to change, and we are going to evaluate it, and we're going to do rulemaking.
We'll adopt some general principles, and now we're going to work with those general principles as our guidelines to set up rules to go forward.
Yeah. And the general principles emanate from a new understanding of risk. Otherwise, they would not have been adopted.
Suppose the NRC said, you know, we're always looking at risk. And over the next 50 years, it may appear that risks are higher than we think now, so we're always looking at them. And if we determine that risk for existing operations are too high, we will come up with mandatory requirements for existing power operations.
Well, as a general matter...
Suppose they said that. Would that be a significant... addition that would require a new EIS?
If the NRC had not appointed the task force...
Answer my question, ma'am.
But your question was the NRC saying, we're always looking at risk. Our contention is the NRC did look at it here.
No, they made a statement to the effect that our new policy is to be considering risk for the next 30 or 40 years, and insofar as our scientists come up with notions that our risk is increased for any reasons, including seismic, we will mandate changes to existing nuclear facilities.
But that doesn't, that...
Suppose they did say that.
That would not satisfy NEPA where there is a pending licensing action. And that is the case with Vogtle.
You mean that statement would not be significant?
That would not be sufficient where there is a pending licensing action. Because the NRC would not have brought to bear its new understanding of risk. There is new information. It's not a question of looking out into the future to see if something changes.
The new information exists.
There's
new information, but there's not a new conclusion as to what changes should be implemented.
Well, certainly there is a conclusion that changes should be made to basic mitigation requirements, such as what happens if there's a loss of off-site power for an extended period beyond 72 hours, beyond the design basis for a reactor? That's one of the recommendations. Now, that's never been considered before, but the commission has taken action by saying we're going to think about that and come up with some new mandatory mitigation measures. Now, the fact that the NRC's put that off into the future...
Obviously, the task force itself didn't think what they did was significant in legal terms, because they recommended the continuation of both Vogtle operating licenses and the regulation.
But they said that they recommended that as long as the recommendations were implemented. And they were looking out into the future. And the standard for NEPA is reasonably foreseeable impacts. Even if the probability of an accident is very, very low, almost zero, the consequences of the accident have to be looked at. And that was not done in this case. The NRC claimed to have looked at severe accidents, but it did not look at its changed view of the probability of severe accidents.
I did detect in your brief at a point in which you suggested that the impact of the Fukushima problem or disaster and the task force report could conclude that all new nuclear operating licenses should stop for some period of time.
Well, just as the commission did after the Three Mile Island accident, the commission paused its licensing actions for a year and a half while it looked at what are the implications of this accident. We actually went to the commission in a month after the accident began and asked them to do just that, and they said it was premature. Then we went back after the task force report came out, and they said it was premature. We went back after they had adopted the task force recommendations, and they continued to say, this is premature. But NEPA does require that before action is taken, the environmental consequences of the action must be considered. As long as the NRC does have information that bears on that decision, then it has got to look at the information.
You're not relying on the Fukushima incident itself, but you're relying on the task force report.
We're relying on the NRC's acknowledgement that the Fukushima accident was significant.
Thank you.
May it please the court, my name is Robert Rader. I represent the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. With me at counsel's table are John F. Cordes, Jr., solicitor, and Jeremy Suttenberg. I want to address the point that Your Honor just raised because it's important to understand that this contention does not address Fukushima implications. The contention is quoted on page 38 of our brief, says that the EIS for Vogtle fails to satisfy NEPA because it doesn't address the new and significant environmental implications of the findings and recommendations by the Fukushima Task Force report. So we have to focus on the task force report and its recommendations, which are the focus of the contention, rather than Fukushima itself. Having said that, nonetheless, the fundamental flaw in counsel's argument is the assumption that the NRC's assessment of severe accident risk and environmental consequences are somehow tied up in or dependent upon our understanding of what constitutes adequate protection of public health and safety from a safety perspective. That's simply incorrect. Our EIS for all of our nuclear power plants are based upon a severe accident analysis, which takes a bounding approach and assumes that a severe accident has occurred despite the measures that are taken to protect the public under Section 182 of the Atomic Energy Act under the adequate protection standard. So we assume that a severe accident has occurred. There's been a dispersion from the reactor of the core inventory of fission products, which releases to the environment and has catastrophic damage. And as the Commission stated in its mandatory hearing decision, that analysis has been taken with regard to Vogtle and has considered Fukushima-type consequences. So the fact that adequate protection might be improved or might be changed under the standards or new rules or orders forthcoming from the Commission after the task force report does not change that analysis in the EIS.
Council gives one example on loss of power. And as for the AP1000, I think you account for that up to 72 hours. Does the task force report make a recommendation that would suggest that you ought to consider it beyond that?
No, Your Honor. In fact, at page 195 of the joint appendix, the commission specifically discusses the task force recommendations in that respect, which are also discussed at page 269 of the joint appendix. Fundamentally, the Commission determined that only three of the 12 task force recommendations are even relevant. And most of the recommendations, in most of the provisions of those recommendations are already contained in the Vogtle design, and others will be applied as necessary.
Well, what was the answer to my question on loss of power? And you have it considered up to 72 hours on AP1000. Did you consider?
That's what I mean.
Did the task force say that loss of power is something that should be taken account of?
Yes, Your Honor.
Was it taken account of on both of these actions?
Yes.
Beyond 72 hours?
The 72-hour provision, it was in fact what was considered. The fact that most reactors require some form of support for electric power in order to cool the reactor,
right,
if there's an accident.
My understanding is you've taken account up to 72 hours, right?
Right. And
doesn't the task force report suggest that you should take account for more than 72 hours?
It suggests that the commission should look at whether or not other measures are needed. But the task force report says that the passive nature of the reactor and having not needing any other additional on-site power for 72 hours puts it ahead of other reactors for which the loss of on-site power would be a more serious problem. So in other words, the commission did consider that problem, the task force did consider that problem, and in both instances, the commission and the task force found that for the Vogtle units, for the AP1000 design, there is sufficient protection of the public health and safety at this time. Will other measures be considered? Yes, for all reactors and for the Vogtle reactors as well. But the commission and both the task force found that, as things stand today, the design is sufficient.
Council, as I think, suggested or pointed to the distribution of iodine. Isn't that correct?
I don't recall whether council referred to that. I don't recall whether that's one of the recommendations. I do know that only three of the recommendations are even deemed applicable for the Vogtle reactors, and that's as stated in the documents.
I thought the only thing specific I could find in the petitioner's brief was this for the suggestion of the need to distribute iodine to people in the surrounding area in the event of a meltdown.
Well, I agree with Your Honor's earlier comments that really all we need to do
is this was in the brief, not in the contentions.
Right. If the commission were to...
Finish your sentence?
Well, I simply said that I agree with Your Honors in your earlier comments to counsel that really all the court needs to do at this point is look at the contention and apply the NRC's contention admission and reopening rules, which are owed deference under the decision of this court, and to determine whether the commission abused its discretion in applying those rules. That's really all the court need do. We don't have to get into all the scientific detail that permeates the petitioner's brief, because these are all merits-related arguments that the commission doesn't have to reach because it determined.
Oh, you have to indulge us. Sometimes our minds are broad.
Of course, Your Honor. And I can understand looking for some substance and some specificity in the brief that isn't stated in the contention, because the contention simply doesn't
what
say anything.
What are the only three things that you think are applicable?
At page 195 of the Joint Appendix, the Commission states that the near-term task force recommendations relevant to the AP1000 design certification are limited to seismic and flooding protection, recommendation 2, mitigation of prolonged station blackout, recommendation 4, and enhanced instrumentation and makeup capability for spent fuel pools, recommendation 7. That's the Commission's finding.
Now, that was the contention refers to seismic flood and environmental justice issues.
They did not brief any environmental justice issue in their brief.
Well, forget that. All right, take that part out. It includes seismic flood issues.
A task force recommendation is simply an idea. It, in and of itself, it has no environmental implication or effect. It's simply a performance objective. And the commission, as Your Honors have stated, are taking these performance objectives, are looking at them, working with their staff, working with the licensees to develop information so that they can develop orders and rules that will effectuate
these. Well, counsel, their thesis is this. Look, this was done because of a major event. And so we assume there's new information now that we have by virtue of the new, catastrophic event. And so we assigned a task force to look at it. And in light of that catastrophe, they came up with some recommendations. You say at least three of them are relevant, one of which they referred to. And so their contention is, we said seismic flood, and your task force said seismic flood. And so we're saying we've made a contention that's specific, and we ought to have a hearing at least on that.
But what they failed to do, Your Honor, was to tie that recommendation to any of the specific characteristics of the Vogtle site or the Vogtle reactor. What they have to do in forming an environmental contention is show that the existing environmental impact statement is insufficient and has to be amended. At this point, there is an EIS. The question is whether it should be supplemented. And what the commission found is the petitioners failed to identify any information from the report and tie it specifically to the Vogtle reactors.
And indeed, the Vogtle reactors, I calculated, are close to 100 miles from the ocean.
I believe that's correct. It's at least 80 or 90 miles from the ocean, Your Honor.
I beg your pardon?
I believe that's correct. It's about 80 or 90 miles from the ocean. So we're not going to have a tsunami.
A tsunami could push the water up the river.
I suppose anything is possible, but there is a very excellent flooding analysis in the safety evaluation report.
Well, that was your point. Wasn't that your response to Judge Edwards? There already was a flooding analysis on this site-specific reactor.
That's true. For each safety evaluation report for every licensed facility, there is an extraordinarily exhaustive analysis of every natural disaster event, floods, seismic events, whatever.
Can I ask you about the SAMDA process?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, the...
The SAMDA process?
Yes, ma'am.
As I understand it, the commission does take into account the cost of that mitigation in most circumstances. But I believe that counsel said that if something changes the adequate protection standard, then cost is no object.
That's correct, Your Honor. Right? There are two different phases. One is a completely safety-related phase, which is adequate protection of the public health and safety, which cannot be cost-related. The second is a NEPA phase, which is a cost-benefit analysis of severe accident mitigation alternatives. And that is the process that's discussed in the rulemaking. The commission did consider, I believe, 17 different SAMDAs when the design was first certified back in 2006. It reexamined those in 2011 and determined that none of the SAMDAs were cost effective.
Now, if I understand counsel's argument, she seemed to say that the task force recommendations specifically changed that adequate protection standard, and that that would is specific enough to have met the threshold.
Any change in the adequate protection standard, if it results, and it may, would not change the environmental analysis for the facility for the reasons I mentioned. The environmental analysis does not depend upon the adequate protection standard. The accident analysis for severe accidents assumes that a severe accident has occurred despite all of the adequate protection measures taken by the commission, and then examines the range of consequences, the release of radionuclides to the environment, the effects upon human health, the contamination of land and water, and examines those in a bounding analysis that determines the worst that could happen. And none of that is dependent upon the agency's determination of what constitutes adequate protection or how it has implemented those features. But to take it one step further, Your Honor, let us assume that multiple measures come out of the recommendations which are in fact implemented through orders and rulemaking. The fact remains that all of those measures, at most, will simply reduce what the commission has already determined to be a small severe accident risk. So a small accident risk will become smaller. And the courts are quite clear that the NRC does not have to amend or supplement its environmental impact statement simply to show a reduction in the amount of impact.
Well, I mean, I don't know how you can say that with a straight face. The whole point of saying this is premature is to give yourselves time to study and to reach conclusions. You're reaching the conclusion in advance of having done the study that you say you need to make.
No,
you don't know whether it'll be an insignificant finding. You haven't done it yet.
I'm not saying the finding would be insignificant, Your Honor. I'm saying that anything that is implemented will only be done to increase safety. The product
well,
of
that's a good thing.
It is a good thing, Your Honor, but the product of increasing safety is to reduce environmental risk. It's impossible to conjure up an image of a safety improvement that increases environmental harm or the risk of environmental harm. And that's what we're analyzing in the EIS.
Okay. That's not the way I was hearing.
Okay.
Counsel, I have a question slightly different from the merits or the procedure. How long have you been in litigating environmental cases?
Since about 1978, Your Honor.
So you're infinitely familiar with all the acronyms that you use in your brief.
Yes, Your Honor.
Do you expect generalist judges to be so familiar so that we don't have to constantly going back and forth to the glossary to figure out what in the devil these acronyms mean? And are you aware that we actually have a rule of court that advises clients not to use acronyms unless they're widely understood? Widely understood means not only by a limited bar that deals only with environmental issues.
I understand.
NEPA will qualify. Virtually none of the other acronyms would.
We tried to define them as we went in.
No, you try to reduce the amount of pages, and you get that from young lawyers who do that. But there are so many ways to write a brief without a lot of acronyms, and it's painful.
Then I apologize, Your Honor.
It creates an environmental problem.
Well, I sincerely...
That's true for both counsel. You have obviously didn't read our rules.
Don't you wish you had said I have nothing more to say 5 minutes ago?
I was trying so hard. Thank you, Your Honor. I do have nothing more this time.
Thank you, counsel. I don't believe Mrs. Curran had any time left, but we'll give her 2 minutes.
Thank you. The NRC claims to have considered Fukushima-like consequences. It's important to remember that at page 167 of the joint appendix, the NRC concedes that its analysis of consequences is probability weighted. So again, probability is very important here. And here the NRC has a new understanding of the probability of catastrophic accidents. Otherwise, it would not be considering mandatory measures to protect against them. These are measures that ordinarily could be rejected on the basis of their cost, that the NRC is making the extraordinary decision that it's going to consider mandatory measures to mitigate against catastrophic accidents. As we say in our contention, there is an implicit assumption there that their understanding of the risk has changed. That does not appear in any documents in the record of this case. Second, the NRC says that only three recommendations are relevant to the Vogel licensing decision. That's just not true. The task force said all of its recommendations for rulemaking were relevant to Vogel and other combined license applications. One of those is the forgotten recommendation one, which is the centerpiece of our contention, which is the scope of design basis accidents for which accident mitigation should be required has been recommended to expand with an extraordinary effect on the environmental analysis for Vogel. Another recommendation that is not mentioned is number 9, which is that all license applicants and license holders, including Vogel, must look at enhancements to equipment and emergency planning measures for multi-unit accidents. In other words, at Fukushima, there were 6 units that failed, and the accident at each unit affected the accident at another. That was unprecedented. The NRC has never seen that before, as stated at page 932 of the joint appendix. That was a recommendation that applies to Vogel, and it's not mentioned as one of the ones that one of the only three that apply.
Thank you.
Thank you.